Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Keep your song play on request coming. We'll play your pump-up song as a return from ad breaks and from our news. That was Pearl Jam's Even Flow, requested by Scott in Boronia. Cheerio to you, Scott. Justin Langer has been good enough to join me, Australian cricket coach, for a chat. Welcome to you, Justin. Great to have you on. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Dwayne.
Should have asked you in advance what your pump-up song was. We could have got that for you as a play on. What would yours have been? Well, when you used to come out to bat in some of those cricket matches that allowed you to use a pump-up song, what was yours?
Oh, probably, I'm a massive Rocky fan, so probably No Second Prize, I reckon.
All right.
For some reason, I used to think I was Rocky Balboa and listen to Jimmy Barnes' No Second Prize when I was training in Mum and Dad's garage. So probably No Second Prize, I reckon.
I love it. And Rocky, one of the all-time great movies. And cricket was more of a contact sport when you played it as well.
Yeah, well, it was certainly familiar. I used to get hit a lot. I used to get hit in the helmet a lot. But there's always a bit of fight, especially as an opening batsman or a top-order batsman. I always thought fast bowlers were bullies, so you had to stand up for yourself, didn't you?
Absolutely. And the fear factor was a genuine thing you had to overcome. It's still there now, no doubt. But the fear factor that Aviv Richards, with no helmet, just a cap on, chewing the chewy, stepping out there facing Tomo and Lily, you wonder how you can get through that fear factor. But that's something you had to do.
Oh, it's great memories, that's for sure. But ultimately, it was about concentration, wasn't it? I mean, I said there's two things about batting. One was you had to have a physical courage because that little red cricket ball's coming at you the whole time. But also concentration. If you see the ball released out of the bowler's hand, you're usually you look after yourself pretty easily.
Whilst we're going down that route, can you talk me through as a coach the cuddle and coddle and love coaching generation that you're now a major part of with Australian cricket, as opposed to, the old, peer pressure, coaches hammering you if you didn't perform, a little bit of abuse directed in a nice way and sometimes in a nasty way. Where's the balance there? Do you think we'll ever go back a little bit, or are we too far down the coddle and cuddle path?
Oh, I think it's one of the interesting things that's come out of this documentary, The Test, that's on at the moment, is that,
yeah.
I remember my daughter saying to me, my third daughter, who loves the cricket, she said, after the second episode, she looked at me and said, Dad, this is the first time in my life I've ever seen you angry. So in one way, that's a compliment because I don't get grumpy in the house very often, but there's plenty of it. I mean, you've got to find the balance. There's no doubt. When I first started, the great Alan Border and Booney and Bob Simpson, geez, they are hard men, tough men, and things have probably changed a bit. But there's always the balance between caring for your players, but also sending out some tough messages. In the end of the day, some of my great mentors and the people that had the biggest influence on my life are the ones who are toughest on me at the time, and it's a really important part of growing and getting better.
And the player-to-player conversations were pretty honest back then as well, if you didn't pull your weight as well. That doesn't happen as much these days, does it? It's the coach's job now.
Oh, it is, but it's something that we encourage, honest conversations. If you would ask me the most important, philosophies in my coaching or the environments we try and create when I'm coaching is having those honest conversations, because when you have honest conversations with each other, you build trust, and then with trust you can have more honest conversations, and the cycle continues. But it's a tough thing to really look a bloke in the eye and tell him the truth, but it's also the Australian way as I know it. So the more we can get better at that, the better the environment you create, whether it's in your business or your team or in your family home.
If you lose a bloke, can you ever get them back? Justin, I'm sure there's some people that you still look on now that were part of the coaching or the structure around you in your career that you probably still have a little bit of a dislike, or is it a return to love even if you dislike them at the time? Can you ever get a guy back if you lose him?
I think so. You shouldn't lose him in the first place. That's the truth. Yeah. I mean, the only reason you lose people is because you don't tell them the truth. If you try and dance around the edges, and as I said, that's why there's not a lot of great leaders out there, because it's a really hard skill to have, and it's something hard to practice. But you shouldn't really lose anyone if you're honest with them. The only time you do lose them, and if you do lose them, and it's your fault because you haven't been honest. If you can apologise to them and be vulnerable with them and again, tell them the truth, then you can get them back, I think.
Talking to Justin Langer, Australian cricket coach, didn't mean to head down this path, but we kind of to have. How much of your day is now spent clicking into work mode, Justin? Do you still need to spend a large proportion of it in work mode, trying to plan for the unknown ahead, trying to think in your own mind, okay, well, this might be the next time we get together. This might be the next tour or the next team we face. How much of your time is spent doing that?
Oh, plenty, yeah, and I'm actually quite enjoying it. I mean, I can do my work from home, learning really. I would have had probably 20 teleconferences in the last couple of weeks, but I'm actually doing it from the comfort of my own study, and also I can sleep in my own bed, I can eat home-cooked meals, I can walk out the back into my garden, I can still keep training, which is, I'm actually, believe it or not, really enjoying this period. We've been on the road for about 20 months now, so have a bit of downtime and be able to do the important work from home is something that I'm cherishing.
We know that the old vision of Don Bradman hitting a ball with a stump against a round concrete water tank base is kind of iconic in our memories. It's sort of iconic in mine because, you know, getting reps in the backyard was something we all did as kids. That was it. You're out the backyard with a footy or a cricket bat and ball, whether it be a cricket ball and a stocking, just hitting, kicking. Players now, what are they having to be inventive all of a sudden when they have come through an era where they didn't have to be?
Yeah, I think it'd be really good for them, actually. I know the boys are all staying fit and healthy. There's plenty of challenges going on at the moment, and the boys are sending WhatsApp challenges, and they're all staying nice and fit and healthy. But I had the ball in the sock in my garage right until I was 39 years old, till I retired. I used to, every now and then, I'd go down there if I needed a bit of time away, put my headphones in, just keep chipping away at the ball and the sock. I was still 40 years old or 39 years old. So there's plenty of ways the boys can get inventive. And I think it's going to be a nice little period for them to think on their own feet and to be ready. It's one of those philosophies we have in the Australian cricket team is always stay ready. Will Smith, the actor, said, "I always stay ready, so I've never got to get ready." So it's no different for us as coaches, for as players. We stay ready, so when the opportunity comes again, we are ready to go and ready to fly again.
So the opportunity is not for a while. How do you select the team? Because you won't actually know who's informed. Do you have to select them, you know, kind of on their reputation and what they did prior to lockdowns? How are you going to work through that? Or will you have a few net sessions and quick hit arounds before you do anything serious?
Oh, no, of course. I mean, that's not going to come up on us quickly. We'll be well planned and we'll have I'm sure every sector of our society at the moment is waiting for some clarity on what's coming up next. So it'll be no different in the sporting world. The footy players, I'm sure, will be keeping themselves nice and fit, but it won't be as if they say, OK, we're going to play on Saturday. I'm sure there'll be some good lead-up time and we'll be well prepared for whatever's going to come up.
So you think they could push out the start of the T20 World Cup if they need to, so they can change the date? They won't just have the T20 World Cup and say to you guys, OK, well, it's starting in 2 weeks' time. You've got to be there. We're not ordering the date.
No, I can't see that happening. I think there'll be some, you know, when we get more clarity on what's happening internationally and what's happening at home, then I'm sure there'll be a decent lead-up time. But it will be definitely one of the challenges, no doubt, particularly for our fast bowlers, that they'll have to be up and running. They can't just turn up and get going. They've got to adapt their bodies and be ready. And that's never been any different. So there'll be some challenges for us, but we'll make sure we overcome those challenges, whatever they are.
Been a bit of talk about Steve Smith recently as well. Justin, you're probably sick of the question, but it's more a question based on the fact that, you know, does time change your view of Sam Papagate? Do you now look back on that time differently from this angle now than when you were in the middle of it?
I mean, a lot's happened in the last 2 years. I mean, we said that from then we had to make Australians proud of us again, and hopefully we've done that. Got Steve, Dave Warner, Cameron Bancroft to a lesser degree, but I mean, they've been outstanding in their redemption. I think the way they've come out and played their cricket, the way that they've shown humility to the public, the way they stood up to the barrage of abuse in England that they were subjected to, they've shown great character, and hopefully the whole of the Australian cricket team showing great character, and we've earned back some respect from the public, and we've made them proud of what we're doing. I've been blown away by the support the team's had over, particularly over the last 12 months. But they've had to work very hard for that, and that's about culture and environments, and they've worked very hard to earn that respect back.
Do you think it's almost a duty to watch the test and have that kind of stuff reinforced? And I suppose, that, you know, in some ways you look back and think, gee, maybe Australia was too harsh in comparison to other countries. But we have seen what these guys are made of, and I suppose the test has done that for us too, given us an understanding, a better understanding of what's myth and what's reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the good things about it. What in all forms of life, we just see what's on the surface, don't we? But one of the things about the test is you actually get to see warts and all, and it's a really honest account of what happens. But the other thing about that is that there's probably, I think there's 7 or 8 episodes that go for 50 minutes or an hour. So there's 7 or 8 hours of vision of what I've lived through for the last 2 years. So, you know, I'm very, very clear where we're at, where we've come from. I knew the impact that it had, what happened in South Africa, as a past player and a cricket lover and just as an Australian. So I've lived all through that, and we're coming through. We're not at the end of it yet, but we're certainly moving in the right direction.
I'm sure Jared's asked you this before, but because you're on earlier this week and you've talked about the test a lot, but how much did you have any impact on the editing of it? Was there stuff that hit the floor that you said, no, that can't go?
There's a few things, but in the end of the day, we had great trust in Adrian and the guys who were producing it. They made it really clear to us from day one that they weren't in the business of making us look bad. They were going to try and give it just a true insight in what it's like to be in the Australian cricket team. So there's a couple of things. I mean, in I think episode 7, I kicked the bin after Nathan Lyon missed that run out against Stokes in the third test match. And I can't even remember doing it, but I kicked the bin. So I said to the guys, no, you've got to take that out. I don't want people seeing me kick the bin. They said, yeah, but did you see what you did next? I said, what do you mean what I did next? We bloody lost the test match. He goes, no, but you picked up all the bottles. You picked up all the mess. And he said, you guys talk about elite humility. Well, you showed it then. So there was times where I thought, but I trusted what they were going to do and what the storyline, and the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive. So they've done a very good job.
And what's the optimist in you think that would be a rough date that you might be able to be together with your team again?
Oh, gee, I wish I knew. But I'm on the board of the West Coast Eagles Footy Club, and it's been incredibly sobering seeing what's happened to AFL footy, seeing the inside and the different layers of the what happens to footy when we're not playing. So I'd love to think that we could be playing the full summer next year, but and I'm ever the optimist, but we'll have to wait and see. Who knows? There's no doubt, though, in my mind that cricket's going to take a hit, like all the other codes have taken a hit, like all the sectors, all businesses are taking a hit. There's no question that that'll be the same. None of us are immune to what's going on at the moment. It's a terribly or an incredibly challenging time. But I also know that Australians, what we're great at is pulling together and coming through things like we did with 2 years ago in South Africa. That's tiny compared to what we're going through at the moment, but Australians are good at pulling together and coming through these things.
Yeah, I think even cricket and cricketers probably a better place than modern day footballers as well, Justin, given the modern day footballers, some are very much sheep-like. They need to have the regulation of being told when to turn up and what to do, and they're not necessarily the self-motivating era that we were once. And I think cricket probably has more guys that, because it's more of an individual thing that they have to get themselves prepared for, are more individually motivated. Do you think that there's enough self-motivators in the Australian cricket team that you're not worried about what they will return like?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm really low. I mean, in the Australian cricket team, there's 11 people who can get selected. There's not 150 or 160. There's 11 blokes. So I've known the philosophy all my life involved in Australian cricket. You want to be the best of the best to get a game, and you can't afford to get complacent or lazy, that's for certain. So, yeah, I know all our boys will be, when at the time comes, I mean, they're in the middle of a break at the moment, which is some of them have been on the road for 20 months, even longer. So it's actually a good time for them to have a break to refresh and recharge and reflect on what's been and what's coming up. But they're all they're self-motivated. They'll be ready to go, no doubt about that.
Great to have you, Justin. Really appreciate you joining me, and look forward to hearing you on SEN again soon, and we'll use that Rocky play on next time you come on.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks a lot, mate.
Justin Langer, Australian cricket coach. Need to take a break. A few of your calls, 1300 736 736. You're with Dwayne's World.